Jackie, and I say I'm a recovered sex and love addict.
Hi, Jackie.
And fantasy too, big time. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm also, when I saw everybody coming in, this is my first face-to-face SLAA meeting in, gosh, before COVID, like three or four years. So I feel overwhelmed with gratitude, and also not intimidated, actually. When I heard artists in recovery, I'm like, oh, cool, I'm an artist. But it's been a long time since I've been in a physical meeting. So a little bit about the past. I don't want to talk too much about it. I want to talk about just how grateful I am to have a relationship with a higher power, finally. I started recovery back in 1989, was my first run through the steps. But before that, I'll just tell you that I was raised by a father that said his message to me. I grew up in Hermosa Beach, and my dad used to come up. I used to come up here with him. He directed an equity waiver plays and whatnot, and acted. And I really loved that part of my father. The part that really impacted me was, Jackie, if you have a perfect body and you read all the classics and are an intellectual, then, then a man will want you. So that's all I did my whole life, and was just chase, try to be what I thought that man wanted me to be. And I would chase. I was a chaser. Fuck yeah. I was a chaser, man. Oh my God. And I was a chaser because my dad, you know, we'd go out to breakfast. My mother and father divorced when I was very little, and my dad would take the newspaper, and then I'd be sitting there, and this was breakfast with my dad. And so I was always like, woo, hello, dad, you know, and he's driving down the street, and I would imitate him. He'd take his glasses, and he'd go like this, and he'd be like, and he'd check out the broads. And I remember, like, being 6 years old, that's a year that stands out, going, Dad, I'm sitting right here in the car. Why are you looking at her? And of course, I married a man like him, and had two children. The past is it's gonna be really hard to squeeze it all in. And my mom, on the other hand, she was stunning and terribly, deeply insecure. She was physically abusive, and I grew up pretty much afraid of my mother. You know, she had a lot of trauma and whatnot, and that's the past. And she used to always say that your dad was a cheater, your dad was this, your dad, and my dad would always say, your mother's crazy, she's crazy. And she suffered from migraines, and he would always say it was psychosomatic. And then I got them, and I got them really hard and bad when I was in my late 20s, and then he kind of, you know, thought about that. So I grew up with that message, you know, and my mother it was all about, you know, hiding your body and just being afraid because she was sexually abused as a young girl. So she was always telling me, you know, men only want one thing, hide your body. Whereas my dad is like, you know, at 14, you know, enjoy your life. What would he say? He'd say, enjoy your sex life, but don't come home pregnant. And I remember the first time he said that, I was like, pregnant? What's that? I was so sheltered by my mother. And then, but my life was about, I chased men, and I chased, I'd go after them. I'd spot them and from afar. And I'd start the intrigue where I would just start, you know, I'd find him attractive and intriguing, and I would somehow find a way that I could talk with him and connect. And all the while thinking, you know, I'm such a nice girl, but I was intriguing. And then, you know, either we'd flirt and blah, blah, blah. And then I get into a relationship and with an emotionally unavailable man. And often, 9 times out of 10, an addict. Pretty much every time it was an addict, and I wanted to help him and take care of him, because that's what I did as a little girl with my mom with her migraines. So just going to pause for a minute. And I remember when I was, this was one of the extreme ones I share with my sponsees. When I was in college, I saw a guy from afar. He noticed me. I would go every single evening that he had class. I would just appear in front of his class instead of going to my class. And he'd be like, oh my gosh, it's funny seeing you here again. Yeah, I know. And I actually remember you could go and get a schedule in the student center and you could find out exactly what people's classes were. And I guess they call it today stalking. That's what I did. And I remember it got to the point where I was so addicted to him and seeing him and, you know, flirting and like see me, you know, and that I had to withdraw from two classes. And I remember one day walking by in a library bookstore in Long Beach and saw A Woman Who Loved Too Much. And I went, picked it up, and it talked about recovery and 12-step. I'm like, oh my God, that's me. Started my first Encoda, was where I had my spiritual awakening. And then I met my ex-husband and ended up in a foreign country for 19 years because I had kids, so I was pretty much held there. But what I want to say, how much more time do I have? Okay. So even when I was overseas, I intrigued because I was in a terribly unhappy relationship and desperately wanted to come home, back home here. And the ocean and my relationship with the ocean kept me going. I knew that one day I'd come back to my ocean. I would. I'd come back and connect with her. And the whole time I was overseas, I still stayed in program. I never left program. But I didn't take direction from sponsors. I didn't really have a relationship with a higher power. And, with my sponsor, I would tell her what I wanted her to hear about the guy that I was in the relationship with, you know, those red flags. I didn't want her to know because I didn't want her to say, what the fuck, you know. And my pattern would be go through the steps, go up to the sixth and seventh step after I'd, you know, cleanse myself, the fifth, sixth and seventh. I felt like I was better. And then I'd stop talking to my sponsor as much. I'd stop going to meetings and me in control. And then I'd meet somebody and I'm off to the races. And I didn't have really my spiritual awakening until I started, you know, and one of the things that always jumps out to me, we become immobilized or seriously distracted by romantic and sexual obsessions or fantasies. That was me. That, sometimes I can go there, but the tools that I have today can bring me back to reality. And, you know, the thing that I want to share about today and when I finally surrendered to this program, finally, I cannot believe that I did. Shit. And I'm cussing a lot, I apologize. But was when I had a sponsor in Sweden, and her guidance was in the big book. I don't know if I can bring that into the, but the guidance was, do this, and when I go into obsession or fantasy, ask God to remove it, and then turn my thoughts towards helping somebody else. And I remember she was like, I called her, or I would text her, and I'd be like, help! And she'd say, ask God what you should, ask God, I need you to help me. And she would just keep redirecting me to God, to my God. And that was the moment that I finally built this relationship with a power greater than myself. And I am in constant communication with God and spirit, you know, love, that's what I call, and today. And that was the biggest gift that I've ever gotten from a sponsor. Just really profound. And I was so afraid to sponsor my whole life. And I think I was afraid because I didn't really have that relationship with God. So I couldn't really say, go to God. Today I do. Something else that's really, something else that's a miracle. My intrigue and texting and chasing is gone. That's weird. It's a spiritual program. That's where I remember, gosh, I know I'm going to have to, like some of the, I know I'm going to wrap up soon, but, you know, the last guy that I was in a relationship with, I'll just tell you this, that now I sponsor women, and I I need to sponsor women. And it says in the big book, this is how they recovered. They had to carry the message. If they didn't carry the message, which I never did, no wonder after 30 years in recovery, and I'll wrap up, no wonder I haven't had relief. And I keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Now I sponsor. Now, when I kind of go into fantasy because I'm a little tired, I'm a little hungry, I'm feeling a little teeny bit lonely, I go, I immediately, okay, God, please take this, turn my thoughts, get up out of my bedroom and go outside. And I mean, there's so much more I could say, but I think the biggest thing for me today is to have found that higher power that I have a conversation with now, and that I will say, God, Kate, what do you want me to do? Oh, really? All right. If that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. And because if I do it what I want to do to get that hit, I'm screwed. And I do believe that this is a deadly disease. And I guess that's all I have to say today. That's all.